That is one of my favorite songs that Kit and Katie Marie present to us over the years. It's so peaceful, and it's so it is to open us wide open, and I thank you all for that. Friends, some of you may know, and for those of you who do not yet know, our beloved Jim Beal made his transition to his next life last Monday, September 7th, at the Deer Creek Nursing Home here in Wimberley. His family wants you to know that at the proper time, there will be a celebration of life service, and we'll let you know when that's going to occur. Jim Beal was a gentleman of the highest order, a scientist, a scholar, and an explorer of the cosmos and the psyche. He and his wife, Roberta, were longtime members of Unity of Wimberley, and he contributed to the placement and creation of our beloved labyrinth. He loved attending church, sitting up front, and was always ready to help me with extra information to benefit my service. And I never minded it. It was wonderful. For those of you who did not know Jim well, we want to share with you a short clip from a video interview that was filmed with him in 2011. Before we do that, though, I'd like to just let you know, I'm going to say some really big words here for a moment. I knew Jim in his later years when he came to church in a walker, and he was frail, and he wore a red baseball cap all the time. But here was what he did in his life. He was a staff engineer in the Advanced Processes Technology Department while at Martin Marietta Manned Space Systems, which occupied the NASA Michaud facility in New Orleans, Louisiana. He was responsible for determination of new non-destructive evaluation, or NDE, technologies and processes, such as digital X-ray, eddy current, electrostatic cooling, which may be applied to improve performance of the current space shuttle external fuel tank materials and welds. He is a co-owner of a patent called Enhanced Electrostatic Cooling Apparatus, a process to cool and strengthen thin aluminum welds on the external tank of the shuttle. For many years, he investigated potential applications of electromagnetic field, or EMF, effects for environmental improvements to enhance long-term mental and physical health and improve the healing process. In his later years, he was supporting research about toxic elements in our breathing, eating, sleeping, and working environments, which can cause health stress in system metabolic functions related to electrical and chemical sensitivities, like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and a host of other problems not responding to current medical treatment and primarily affecting women's health. And before he retired from his home in Wimberley, he offered his EMF interface consulting services. So this video clip we're going to show you is a tiny example of how his amazing mind worked. We'll post the entire interview on the resource page for those of you who would like to view it. And here's our clip of Jim.
Everything is energy. And you can call the whole universe consciousness, because consciousness is energy, and a whole universe is energy. In fact, that is about the closest we'll ever come in our personal experience to what some people call as God. I call it the source. This is the source of all. It isn't good. It isn't evil. That's what human beings and other creatures will place on this phenomenon. But it's all energy, and it's ambiguous as far as how you use it and what you do with it and your own personal reaction to it. Everything is energy. It's internal. It's external. It's everywhere. That's ubiquitous. That, to me, is an analog of what we sometimes call God.
Amen. Extraordinary person, and not unsurprisingly, Jim's life fits right into what I was going to talk about today anyway, because the title of today's lesson is fitting in, or belonging, which has a question mark at the end, about which you do. What do you do? Do you fit in or do you belong? And so most of us spend our lives trying to fit in to wherever we are. And it's important to us that at some point in our lives we find our tribe without reverting to tribalism. And there's a big difference there. I'm teaching this month from Brené Brown's book, Braving the Wilderness. And my goodness, I certainly identify with her story because she spent the early parts of her life trying to fit in. And it's because her parents moved around a lot and she had new places to adjust to every time they moved. And so I just want to share with you, some of you have heard this already, I was born in Midland, Texas. Didn't live there long enough to remember it. Went back there once in my adult life. And that's all I'll say about that. And then we moved to Lubbock. And then we moved to Fort Worth. And I was 4 at that point. Before I turned 5 years old, we moved to Illinois. And after that, we moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. We moved to St. Louis, Missouri. We moved back to Cincinnati. We moved to just outside of Denver, Colorado. We moved back to Illinois. Then we moved to San Antonio. And then we moved to Arlington, Texas, outside of Fort Worth. And then we moved to Mansfield, Texas, which is a suburb also of Fort Worth. And that's where I started 7th grade. So I moved a lot when I was a kid. And it was important as a child, and especially with the expectations placed on your firstborn child, to do well everywhere I went. And so it meant that every place I went, I had to adjust quickly to try to fit in. And I never really felt like I fit in anywhere, and I still kind of grieve sometimes that I don't have a childhood friend like I've known all my life. There's one person that I'm no longer, our paths don't cross anymore, but my parents knew her parents, and we were born a couple of weeks apart from each other. But we weren't close friends throughout our lives, so I didn't have that connection to a home place. And home was just wherever my parents were. My dad was a civilian employee for the Army most of that time, and so we were everywhere. And one of the things that I could do to fit in, kind of, was to try to excel at my studies in school. So I could be the smart kid. Well, by the time you get to middle school, with all the pressures of adolescence and all the weird hormonal stuff of puberty, being the smart kid wasn't really the best way to be the popular kid. You were just the smart kid. And that wasn't much fun either. And so, as you can imagine, going through all that, and I enjoyed my middle school and high school years. I was very involved. I had a lot of friends, but I always had this sense of anxiety that I didn't really fit in anywhere. Felt the same thing when I went to college. And so, finding a way to feel like I belonged to a group of people was hard. And it required me to have a chameleon-like attitude. So that when I was with my family, I was this way, and when I was at work, I was this way, and when I was out with friends, I was this way, and when I went to church, I was this way, so that I would fit in all these places. And it wasn't until I began to seriously study my spirituality that I began to understand what it was to belong. Because belonging doesn't have as much to do with the people that you're around. It has more to do with your sense of belonging to yourself. And that only happens through a close relationship with your Creator, with an identification with the Christ Spirit that lives in you, that guides in you, that you learn to trust. That way you begin to belong because you've settled into yourself, your true self. And what I love about Jim's story, and I actually also read his mother's biography, she was doing things in the early 20th century that women just didn't do. And she ended up having an extraordinary life, and she taught those extraordinary qualities to her only child, Jim, who then went on to do amazing scientific and technological things, but he also explored that which we cannot see. He explored, as I said in the biography earlier, he explored the cosmos within and without. And so I admire Jim because to the very last day that I saw him, when I went to see him in Deer Creek the last time, Jim was his own person. And even though his faculties were beginning to fail him, he knew exactly who he was. And you could look into his eyes and see it. He never lost that. And so I know this isn't Jim's memorial service today. It's not his celebration of life. But I celebrate that of all people, for Jim to be able to go and experience that which is beyond this life brings me great joy. That he is now out there unfettered by anything on this earth to explore all the rest. So I want to share with you a quote from Maya Angelou. And believe it or not, she said this back in 1973. That was the year I graduated from high school. This was an interview with Bill Moyers. She said, "You are only free when you realize you belong no place. You belong every place. No place at all. The price is high. The reward is great." So when Brené first heard that, she thought Dr. Angelou was maybe just a little wacky, because that's a paradoxical statement. To belong every place and to belong no place. And so I think you can begin to see that braving the wilderness means being able to step outside of the comfort, the temporary and fleeting comfort of fitting in to this journey within where we stand alone, really. We stand alone in our belonging. We stand alone with God. So that no matter where we go, no matter who we're with, we are the expression of that Christ Spirit, of God's creation in us as us. So that you're the same person when you're with a group of friends or when you're at work or when you're out socializing or when you're at church, or when you're with your family, especially when you're with your family, to be the same person because you know that you belong to yourself. You belong to the universe. So here's what happens, especially because a lot of us are experiencing a lot of pain right now for different reasons. And part of it is the great aching groan of humanity that we're experiencing right now. And those that are tuned into the earth right now can feel the ache of everything that's being destroyed by fires in the Northwest right now. We feel the human ache of our anger and polarization from each other. So this is very timely material. In the environment we're living in right now, people seem to be joining with groups of people that think just like they think, and then it becomes an echo chamber for each other. And we begin, as we give ourselves away to that, we lose ourselves. So here's our choices. We can live in constant pain and seek relief by numbing it or inflicting it on others. That's what we do with our pain. Or we can deny our pain, and our denial ensures that we pass it on to those around us and down to our children or those who are watching us for an example. Or we could find the courage to own the pain and develop a level of empathy and compassion for ourselves and others that allows us to spot hurt in the world in a unique way. You see, it'd be easy for us if we could just turn off the faucet of human suffering. But I don't think we can do that. I think we absolutely have to leave that faucet open. Because empathy and compassion are essential parts of our human experience here on earth as spiritual beings. We have to leave that faucet on. And we cannot be weighed down by it so much that we lose ourselves. We might temporarily. But our job is to envelop human pain, human suffering, envelop it and transmute it through the love and the peace and the life and the compassion that lives in us, just like our daily word said today. We take it on. And those of you who have been in my classes, you know that I talk about the Tibetan Buddhist practice of Tonglen, which is where we know the light of truth within us. And when we're with others who are in pain, we breathe it in, we transmute it with our love, and we breathe it back out as peace and healing. We can all do that. Jan did that with us this morning. We can do that with our breath. We can do that with vibration. Now, I have to tell you that I'm standing here before you today, and I'm going to be my authentic self. I try to be my authentic self every time I'm standing before you. I'm in pain today. I've been experiencing a lot of pain. Some of you have been sharing that with me and holding me up. But my husband is about to move into a long-term care facility. He'll have some independent living, but he'll have care for the rest of his life. That's a huge change in my household, a huge change in my marriage. It's best for him, but it's hard for me and our children. My dad, who's almost 88, is undergoing immunotherapy for metastatic lung cancer. And I can't really be with him. I can't. Gonna need a tissue. Can't hold him the way I want to. Thank you. I would love to be able to embrace him and let him know that whatever he chooses on this journey, it's okay. It's okay. And my brother, I spoke with him this morning. My brother has been living his dream for the last couple of years in Fort Collins, Colorado, not too far away from the Heinemanns, Santa and Matt, that you all know. And They've been going through the fire and the smoke and the ash of the fires in Colorado that have not jumped the river to Fort Collins, but certainly affected the quality of the air, and there's ash everywhere. It was up close to 100 degrees, and then suddenly it dropped down to 39 degrees, and it snowed. So my brother was already having some issues with a fall that he took, helping a woman outside the store where he worked. She had fallen down, and in his trying to get her up, he fell and got some compression fractures in his back. And then he was taking a friend home in the snow the other night, Tuesday night, and spun out his car into a curb and pretty well totaled his car. And then when he got out to see the damage, he kind of jacked up his neck and hurt his back again. He's on disability already, and so this is pretty devastating for him. And of course, my first instinct is just to jump in my car with my bags packed and drive to Fort Collins and go be with him and help him out. I'm not sorry that my heart is breaking open for three very important men in my life. It means that I'm alive. It means that I belong to myself. It means that I'm able to take my love and compassion anyway and hold out the truth that is within them as well, so that they're strengthened and lifted up, because I don't have their answers. God does. That is a comfort for all of us. And I have to tell you that my brother, in his authenticity, as I was talking to him on the way to church this morning, this was the first I'd heard about his accident on Tuesday, he said, you can pray for me, and would you ask your congregation to pray for me too? So I'm asking you on his behalf. The people that we have the deepest relationships with are the people who also belong to themselves. They're not trying to please us. They're not trying to be something that they're not. They have the strength of their authenticity to belong, whether they're in a group or standing alone. And have you ever noticed that when you are in your belonging, when you are belonging to yourself and to the world, and when you are centered in that grounded energy, you can have difficult conversations with other people because you're speaking with your authenticity, and people hear your authenticity and are more likely to be able to respond to you with theirs. That's how we heal the world. That's how we heal the world. My brother shared his vulnerability with me today. He asked me to share it with you. And you see, we don't have to know each other. We don't have to know each other in order to spark that belonging, in order to say to another, beloved, the Christ Spirit lives within you. I see it. I know it for you. I'm going to hold on to it for you until you know it for yourself. That's why we pray for each other. That's why unity has been such an enormous movement in New Thought, because it began with prayer. All of New Thought began with praying for others. And we cannot pray for others if we're begging God to do one thing or another. For them or for us. So here are some questions that I will pose to you. Just consider these things. And if you want to study this with us, please join us on Wednesday nights. What is the process, practice, or approach that the women and men who have developed a sense of true belonging have in common? Look at the people that you admire the most and know that they're reflecting to you the qualities that are lying in potential in you. What does it take to get to the place in our life where we belong nowhere and everywhere, where belonging is in our heart and not a reward for perfecting, pleasing, proving, and pretending? That sounds like the four deadly P's to me. Perfecting, pleasing, proving, and pretending. Oh my Lord, I spent so many years doing those things, didn't you? It's exhausting. It's not a reward for, it's not something that others can hold hostage or take away. When we're authentic, nobody can take that from us. If we're willing to brave the wilderness, to stand alone in our integrity, do we still need that sense of belonging that comes from community? Well, I say we do. Because 100% of the time we don't remember how we belong. And if we have a community that's centered around the act of belonging, we'll be reminded that even in our wilderness, even in our aloneness, there are others that are out there in their wilderness and their aloneness, and yet, in paradox, we are together. You just have to accept that paradox. You have to. I'm telling you, you have to. Does the current culture of increasing divisiveness affect our quest for true belonging? Man, I'm going to be hammering on this for a little bit. If so, how? How does it affect you? So I'm going to leave you here with a definition of what belonging means. True belonging is the spiritual practice of believing in and belonging to yourself so deeply that you can share your most authentic self with the world and find sacredness in both being a part of something and standing alone in the wilderness. True belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are. If y'all were here in the room with me, I'd be asking for some amens. Okay, well, I got a few people in the room. Do you remember those times when we meditated? We make our hands into a bowl. I think it's important to get our bodies involved in our spiritual practice. Ain't that true, Jan McGowan? Yes, it is. So we're going to hold our hands in a bowl. And we're going to put ourselves there, and we're going to put all the people that we're praying for there. There are people that are in pain right now. Right now. People that we love. We're going to put everybody that we love and care for right here in the bowl. And you see, the bowl looks like it's just these two hands size. This bowl is infinite. It's infinite. This is just as much as I can do with my hands. But this bowl is infinite, and we're holding humanity in it. And today we're going to breathe in who we are, God's people. And as we breathe in that pain, as we breathe in the hurt and the uncertainty, we're transmuting it with our love and our grace. It's not of our own. It's the mechanism that was created in us before we were born. So we breathe it in. We transmute it with our love, our compassion, our empathy, our knowing. And we breathe out grace, peace, healing, serenity. And in the bowl of your hands, include the people that you don't like, especially them. And if you need to think of it this way, think of it as this is not so much for them as it is for you to make your heart more whole. Everyone is deserving of love. They don't have to accept it, but they're deserving of it, and so we breathe it in and transmute our own feelings, and we breathe it back out as peace and understanding. And beloved, know that as you're doing this for others, you're doing it for yourself. Your own pain, your own uncertainty, the places in your life where you've tried to please, where you've pretended. Be gentle with yourself. And know that in any given moment, you're doing the very best that you can. And you will notice when it's time to correct your course, and you will. And because all of this is true, and because all of this is good, because all of this is infinite and eternal, we are so, so grateful. And we bring our hands together now in gratitude. And the final step is now to release and let go of everything else that is not God. Everything else that distracts you from the true one. Let it go. Beloved, I miss you and I love you. Amen.